The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, doing a couple more verses than is mentioned on the service sheet. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. You pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Well, good.
Is that right?
Good afternoon, everybody. It's very nice to be here with you once again. Oh, and I've forgotten to get the. Are you going to do it? Oh. Let's try that again. Brilliant. Very nice to be with you. And continuing this little summer series on prayer that Ed was mentioning. At the beginning, so far, cast your mind back over the past couple of weeks, we've been reminded who we pray to and what to pray for. Been reminded who we pray to. God is our perfect Father in heaven, and we're to pray for his glory and his honor. But also, as those who trust in him, who depend on him, we're to seek his provision, his pardon, and his protection. Well, this week, as we look at these earlier verses in Matthew 6, we're going to just really focus on 5 to 8. The focus is going to be on our attitude in prayer. So not so much the actual words we use when we pray, but our motivation for doing so. And as we begin, let me state the obvious. I wonder if you noticed as Paul read it. In both verse 5 and verse 7, Jesus, in teaching his followers, he says, when you pray. It's not a if you feel like praying, it's a when you pray. Just as we read about Jesus in the Gospels, we read of him praying to his Father again and again. So he expects his followers to be people who pray as well. So we're going to consider these verses just quickly in two parts. And we're going to think in regards to our approval and our approach. That is, whose approval do we seek when we pray? Whose reputation is it that concerns us? And what sort of God do we think we're approaching when we pray? What sort of relationships does the way we talk to God reflect what we think he is like? So two headings for you this afternoon. And the first one is not coming up on. I'm going the wrong way. That'll be why. Hang on. There we go. When you pray, pray humbly, not hypocritically. Now, I doubt very much if you were here last Sunday afternoon, you spent the rest of the week going onto your street corner, shouting out the Lord's Prayer as loud as you can, trying to impress your neighbours that you've learnt a prayer from Jesus. And yet what Jesus talks about in these early verses highlights a wrong attitude to prayer, an attitude that sees praying in public as a means of a performance, whereby you can pray so others hear you, in order to gain their approval, their respect, or their applause. That's why Jesus uses the word hypocrite there in verse 5. Hypocrite was a word for an actor, someone who wears a mask and pretends to be something else. And Jesus is criticizing those who pray as a means of a public performance, those who simply pray so that others hear and think they're rather great. And in contrast to this showing off type of praying, Jesus encourages us to pray in secret. He says there in verse 6, go into your room, Close the door and pray to your father. I wonder if you're familiar with the Harry Potter books. You'll know that Harry's cruel aunt and uncle are always seeking to lock him away, whether that's under the stairs or in his bedroom, for one express purpose, so that Harry is neither seen nor heard by anyone. Of course, that never quite works out in the books, but that's the intention of his aunt and uncle. We can understand the principle, can't we? Locked away under the stairs, no one will see or hear. But in verse 6, Jesus reminds us that God sees behind the locked door, and he always hears what we pray in secret. Now, that's really rather wonderful when we stop and think about it, because it means that no matter where we are, God hears us when we pray. That means we can pray to God whenever and wherever we find ourselves. We don't need to be in a special building or have special music playing in the background. We don't need to light any candles or do anything else in preparation in order for God to hear our prayers. Jesus just says, when you pray, because we just come to God and we pray. But a good place to choose, says Jesus, is somewhere where we won't be seen or disturbed. Now, for some of us, that's easier than others. For some of us, it will be quite difficult, especially if you live with young children. Finding a quiet, secret place can be quite challenging. And I think it's been helpfully said, well, pray as you can, not as you can't. We're not to have unrealistic expectations about how much quiet time we might get at the beginning of the day, but we are to pray. But Jesus' main point here is not about where we pray. It's not about location. He's drawing that contrast, isn't he, between the hypocrite who prays to be seen by others and the one who prays in secret, because actually that's the one focused on the Lord's reputation rather than their own. See, these hypocrites, if their only concern was being seen and heard by God, well, the cupboard under the stairs would be just fine, wouldn't it? But they lack humility. They are arrogant. They want people to think highly of them. They want others to boost their spiritual ego. And Jesus says they settle for a poor reward, the applause of others. It's interesting, isn't it? They're praying on the street corner, playing to the crowd. All people can do is clap them. When we pray to God, he's not going to applaud us, but he is the one who can answer our prayers rather than just clap. So Jesus encourages us to pray humbly, not hypocritically. And generally speaking, if we do and when we find that private, quiet space, well, we're not going to be tempted to seek the approval of others because there's no one else around. It's a time between just us and God. Now, having said all that, it doesn't mean we should never pray publicly. It's the showing off in public prayer that Jesus condemns here. Personal prayer is important. Of course it is. But so is public praying, gathering and praying together, whether in church on a Sunday, midweek Bible studies or monthly prayer meetings. That's modelled and encouraged throughout the New Testament. Otherwise, it's what Christians do. They do it privately and they do it corporately. They do it together. Gathering to pray is a mark of Christianity. It's that family gathering. What do the family do when they get together? Well, they pray together. It's a means of encouraging one another as we pray together to our Father in heaven. He's the Father of all of us. We pray to the same God. And of course, very grateful for those who serve us as church family, week by week, leading us in public prayer. But of course, the warning here from Jesus means that as and when we do lead public prayers on a Sunday, or we pray out loud in a group where others will hear what we pray, we need to resist the temptation, don't we, that Jesus speaks of here. Resist that temptation to impress other people rather than pray to God. To think, well, here's an opportunity for people to think well of me and enhance my own reputation. Of course, flipping that on its head, it also means we shouldn't rule out serving in this way by praying out loud in front of others because we're worried what others might think of us. That's the wrong question to be asking, isn't it? What will they think of me if they hear me praying? Well, Jesus is saying, it's the wrong question. You're praying to Father, focus on him. So as I say, the issue here is primarily one of motivation. Whose approval do we seek when we pray? Whose reputation is our main concern? Is it our own reputation or is it God's? So it's not that private prayers are any better, if I can use that word. It also means they're not immune from this wrong sort of attitude. See, if you drop into conversation later on this afternoon, how you had a 45-minute quiet time this morning in order to sound impressive, well, that's exactly the wrong attitude Jesus is highlighting here. Prayer is an act of humility where we consider God's reputation much more important than our own. And so whenever and wherever we pray, we are to do so humbly. That is, of course, modeled in the prayer that Jesus goes on to teach us. We're to seek God's glory, seek his name to be hallowed, seek his kingdom come. So the first thing then about our attitude to when we pray is that we're to have humility, not be marked by hypocrisy. But secondly, Jesus shifts our attention from our attitude, whose glory am I seeking, to my approach. That is to say that how we pray reveals what we understand the God to whom we pray to be like, and what we understand our relationship with that God to whom we pray to be like. So in verses 7 and 8, Jesus shifts the focus from reputation to relationship. And that's our second heading for this afternoon. When you pray, pray personally, remembering God is your all-knowing Father in heaven. What Jesus is doing in verses 7 and 8 is putting a stop to the idea that prayers are somehow more powerful or effective the more you say, or the words you use. Through many words, as Jesus says. As though words are some sort of credit or payment. And so the more you offer, the more you then receive in return. It's the vending machine approach to prayer, where I decide what I want off the menu, then as long as I put in the right amount of money, I receive my reward. And if I don't, well, that's on me. I must not have paid enough. If I don't get what I want from God, I must not have prayed enough. Jesus says that's rubbish thinking. And he says the big problem with this pagan, that is non-Jewish practice of prayer that Jesus refers to here, which should apparently often involve a repetition of the same phrases again and again and again. The big problem was not the repetition as such. The reason we know that is because Jesus, a little later in Matthew's gospel, he repeats himself in prayer. For a third time, he prays the same prayer. It's not the repetition. And of course, here in chapter 6, Jesus gives us that model prayer for his followers, the intention of which is to copy and to repeat. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll consider a parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18, which encourages persistence in prayer. See, the issue is not repetition. It's not the using many words over and over again as such. The big problem is how it reveals a wrong understanding of what God is like, and so leads to a wrong approach in how we talk to him in prayer. In other words, their misunderstanding what God is like means they relate to God wrongly, and so they pray to him wrongly. If prayer is a means of expressing our relationship in God, then the language we use, the words we use, how we go about it, will be an expression of what we think he's like, what that relationship is like. We all recognize, don't we, that how we talk to people reveals the nature of our relationship to them. It would be odd, for instance, if you referred to the bus driver as my darling buttercup, unless you happened to be married to them. Then that would sort of seem reasonable, maybe. But the wrong approach that Jesus mentions in verse 7 demonstrates that they neither know God as their loving Father or as the God who is omniscient, which just means all-knowing. God knows everything. And so rather than coming to God in prayer, talking to him, knowing that he cares for them, he knows everything and he longs to meet their needs. That's what we were thinking about a couple of weeks ago. They think in some way they need to badger God into even noticing them. They have to use repetitive phrases again and again and again just to get God's attention, and then point out to him things they think he might have overlooked. Jesus says, well, don't pray like that. And in verse 8, he gives two reasons why. They won't be new to us. He says that God is your Father, so pray to him as your Father. And what's more, God our Father knows that what we need before we even ask. God knows what we need before we even ask. So that means this afternoon, if we're a Christian believer, if we're a follower of Jesus, and we want to talk to God in prayer. Well, we don't need to prepare the ground at all. We don't need to do anything in particular before we start talking to him. We don't have to spend time trying to get God's attention and then hoping he listens. Jesus reminds us that God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows what we're going to pray for before we even ask. And that's a great relief when we stop to think about it. Because it means we don't need to try and impress God with fancy words or with many words. Because one way or another, we need to break through some sort of barrier before God hears us. No. Nor does it mean that God needs all the details of every situation when we pray, or for us to get the request exactly right. Our Father already knows. Instead, Jesus, he just encourages us to pray simply and confidently. No special mantras, no endless repetition necessary. And that's because the Christian prayers are heard and accepted through Jesus. God hears them all, not because we're so earnest in what we say, or how we say it, or how much we say it, but because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross opens the way to that restored personal relationship with our Father in heaven. We were singing in our first song, weren't we? Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Saviour, risen now to reign. The reason God hears me when I pray is because of what Jesus has done. God hears our prayers because of Jesus' work on the cross, not our work on our knees, as it were. As such, that barrier that was there between us and God, caused by our sin, which did need to be broken through, has been destroyed once and for all because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Our prayers are heard and accepted through my many words? No. Through my fancy words? No. They're heard and accepted by God because of Jesus. So I hope you see this afternoon, if you're a Christian believer, it's when you remember who God is and how we're already in right relationship with him. And when we remember how God is both all-knowing and our lovingly Heavenly Father, well, then we will pray personally. We'll pray simply. We'll pray sincerely, not trying to impress others, not trying to impress God, not trying to get his attention. We will just delight to talk to him in prayer. We'll want to speak with him, not because we want others to notice us, not as a means of passing on information because we're not sure if God actually knows what's going on, and not using prayer as some religious technique to try and manipulate God into giving me something I think I want and need. None of those things. We'll want to speak with God in prayer because we want to speak with our Father in heaven and we love him. And if we don't ever know where to start in prayer, well, those verses, aren't they, 9 to 13, are very, very helpful. Jesus gives us a great model there in those verses. Let's have a moment's quiet, and then I will close in prayer. Jesus says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Father God, we want to thank you for the reminder from the Lord Jesus of just who you are this afternoon. Thank you that you are our Father in heaven. Thank you that the way to right relationship with you has been opened through Jesus and his death on the cross. And so we ask that in the week ahead, with the help of your Holy Spirit, you would help us come to you humbly, but also personally. Pray that we might have that delight in talking to you in prayer, because we know you not as some distant deity, but as our loving Father in heaven. Pray that we would keep things simple, knowing we don't have to impress you or others, that we don't have to tell you things you don't already know. But Father, we do thank you for the great privilege of prayer, and pray that you would help us make the most of that in the week ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.